I don't believe he can live through the night, George Cherry wrote in his diary in the spring of 1914. A tough and highly respected naturalist who had spent 25 years exploring the Amazon, Cherry too often had watched helplessly as his companions succumbed to the lethal dangers of the jungle. He recognized the approach of death when he saw it, and it now hung unmistakably over Theodore Roosevelt. Less than 18 months after Roosevelt's dramatic failed campaign for an unprecedented third term in the White House, the sweat-soaked figure before Cherry in the jungle darkness could not have been further removed from the power and privilege of his former office. Deep in the Brazilian rainforest, hundreds of miles from help or even any outside awareness of his ordeal, Roosevelt hovered agonizingly on the brink of death. Suffering from disease and near starvation, and shuddering uncontrollably from fever, the man who had been the youngest and most energetic president in his nation's history drifted in and out of delirium, too weak to sit up or even to lift his head. Throughout his life, Roosevelt had turned to intense physical exertion as a means of overcoming setbacks and sorrow, and he had come to the Amazon in search of that same hard absolution. Deeply frustrated by the bitterness and betrayals of the election contest, he had sought to purge his disappointment by throwing himself headlong against the cruelest trials that nature could offer him. With only a handful of men, he had set out on a self-imposed journey to explore the River of Doubt, a churning, ink-black tributary of the Amazon that winds nearly 1,000 miles through the dense Brazilian rainforest. In a lifetime of remarkable achievement, Roosevelt had shaped his own character and that of his country through sheer force of will, relentlessly choosing action over inaction and championing what he famously termed the strenuous life. From his earliest childhood, that energetic credo had served as his compass and salvation, propelling him to the forefront of public life and lifting him above a succession of personal tragedies and disappointments. Each time he encountered an obstacle, he responded with more vigor, more energy, more raw determination. Each time he faced personal tragedy or weakness, he found his strength not in the sympathy of others, but in the harsh ordeal of unfamiliar new challenges and lonely adventure. On the banks of the River of Doubt, the same unyielding will and thirst for achievement brought him face to face with the absolute limits of his strength. The exotic splendor of the unexplored jungle had captivated Roosevelt and his men as the journey began. No civilized man, no white man, had ever gone down or up this river or seen the country through which we were passing, he wrote. The lofty and matted forest rose like a green wall on either hand. The trees were stately and beautiful. The looped and twisted vines hung from them like great ropes. After months in the wilderness, however, harsh jungle conditions and the river's punishing rapids had left the expedition on the verge of disaster. Roosevelt and his men had already lost 5 of their 7 canoes and most of their provisions, and one man had perished. What lay around the next bend was anyone's guess. Even Colonel Candido Rondon, the expedition's Brazilian co-commander, who had explored more of the Amazon than any other man alive, had no idea where the uncharted river would take them. For Roosevelt's men, fears for their own survival were eclipsed only by despair about the fate of their leader. As Roosevelt's fever soared to 105 degrees, Cherry and Kermit, Roosevelt's second son, were certain that they were witnessing his final hours. The scene is vivid before me, Kermit would later recall. The black rushing river with the great trees towering high above along the bank, the sodden earth underfoot. For a few moments the stars would be shining, and then the sky would cloud over and the rain would fall in torrents, shutting out the sky and trees and river. As the fever-racked former president drifted in and out of consciousness, he slipped into a trance-like delirium, reciting over and over again the opening lines to Samuel Taylor Coleridge's Kubla Khan. In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree. In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree. In Xanadu